In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. St. John was an apostle. He's frequently mentioned along with his brother James and with Peter. These three, Peter, James, and John, formed the inner circle of Jesus' disciples. They witnessed the raising of Jairus' daughter, the transfiguration. They were with Jesus in Gethsemane, went a little bit deeper with him, and were rebuked for falling asleep. As for John himself, he leaned against the Lord's breast at the Last Supper. He stood at the foot of the cross when all others seemed to be absent. And there our Lord entrusted John with the care of his mother Mary. On Easter, he outran Peter and reached the tomb first. Later, he served as bishop of Ephesus, was exiled to the island of Patmos, and according to tradition, he died around 100 AD of natural causes. The apostle was also an evangelist, which means that he wrote the scriptures for our learning. Not every apostle wrote the scriptures. In fact, only Matthew and Peter, along with St. Paul, wrote the scriptures. His books are the Gospel according to St. John, the three epistles that bear his name, and the Revelation of our Lord. His gospel is well loved. It contains detailed stories others omit: the wedding at Cana, the night discourse with Nicodemus, the good shepherd, the raising of Lazarus, among many others. And though he omits the institution of both baptism and the Lord's Supper, his gospel is filled with sacramental theology. Yet he never mentions his own name. He calls himself the disciple whom Jesus loved. This isn't a brag. He isn't saying that Jesus loved him most. John doesn't want you to know about his person. But what matters to him is how the Lord views him. He loves him. We are the ones who like to compare, but John isn't comparing. He's simply stating a fact. He is the object of Jesus' love, and to him, that is everything. Jesus was born, he lived, and he died and rose for John. Our Lord had just told Peter that he would suffer and die for him. In his boldness, Peter is curious about John. He wants to know the details of his good friend's life. Would it be similar to what Peter is about to face? Jesus bluntly tells him it's none of his business. We're nosy creatures. We like to know the details and to listen to the latest stories to compare their lives with ours. We scan social media to see how we stack up against them. Envy never looks good on us. It is sinful to be glad when people suffer, but it also is sinful to be sad when others are blessed. That is envy. A child who cries because his sibling got a present that he wanted has sinned against his parents and against God. Our Lord tells us to love our neighbor, to bear with them in their sufferings, and to rejoice in their blessings. We are not to worry, and neither are we to compare. But it's natural to our fallen flesh. This one's taller, that one's stronger, this one's healthier, that one's smarter. That mother has it all together. That husband can do everything. This child is well behaved. That one is not. Watch out for envy. It eats away at faith. Slowly, perhaps. But it consumes it nonetheless. We want what is not given to us, and we want to know why God has blessed them. Do we not trust that God is good to us? Do we not know that he will provide exactly what we need? How easy it is to judge the love of God solely by these external blessings. Fairness and equality are always on the tip of our tongues until we are the ones who have the extra blessings, of course. The Lord is not like us. His goal is not to make everything fair and equal. He is good. He loves Peter and he loves John. John endured exile. Peter was crucified upside down. Was John spared a martyr's death because Jesus loved him more? Was he a better Christian, more faithful? No. Jesus knew exactly what John and Peter needed so they would live and die in him. You see, God's love is not a one-size-fits-all generic love. It's precise and pointed, counting the very hairs of your head love, knowing their unique potential love, and extracting it in just the right way love. And so Peter died a martyr's death, boldly confessing. And John lived a long life, boldly confessing. Who are we to say one is easier than the other? He loves you too. What matters about you is not where you were born, where you are from, your occupation. It doesn't matter who your family is. What matters most is that you are the object of Jesus' love. He loves you more than your mother does. He won't spoil us, and neither will he make everything equal and fair. His love for you is unique. It is precise and pointed. He knows you. He's interested in you. He tailors your life to draw out your faith. He knows your unique potential, the gifts that he has given, and he desires that you serve him. He's numbered the very hairs of your head. Your days are precisely ordered. He knows what you need so you might live and die in him. To one, he gives many external crosses. To another, he gives many internal crosses. Crosses carried by the emotions and the soul rather than by the body. No one is free from them. No one is unscathed. We all suffer in some way. Yet we all dwell in the love of our God. Some live few years, others live many. Some die of natural causes, others in accidents. And still others, even in our day, die a martyr's death. Through it all, God's will is being done. He taught us to pray it, and he loves to answer it. His will is your salvation. So content yourselves with that and follow him faithfully. Instead of envy, let us love. Instead of jealousy about what they can handle, let us rejoice. Their lives are harder than you know. If we could peer into their hearts and see the thoughts in their minds, we'd be shocked at what they go through on a daily basis, but we'd also see the love of Christ sustaining them through it all. He feeds their souls and gives them courage to get out of bed each day, not knowing what the day will hold. Yet certain of this, he loves them and he is with them through it all. You too are an object of his love. His will is being done in your life. All speculation and curiosity is left at the door. We simply follow Christ. Following is a passive activity. It's hearing and receiving. The Bible's not a roadmap on your life. It doesn't tell you what next year will be. But it's the proclamation of God's love for you. He is the atoning sacrifice for your sins, and not only yours, but for the sins of the whole world. More could have been written about Christ, but John wrote and preached and lived content with this. Jesus loved him each day. Rejoice, people loved by God, with John and with one another, for Jesus loves you today, tomorrow, and even next year. John saw that love mixed with water flowing from his pierced side. And you see that love filling the holy chalice. A blessed Christmas to you all. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.